नष्टपयेशपादेषु नित्यं भगवतसेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्ठिके. A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th Chapter, verses 41 to 43. These are the last prayers of Queen Kunti.
Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshime Sneha Pashamimam Jindhi Diditampan Dusavishnisu.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis.
Mukam karati vachalam pangam langayate girim yakipam tamaham vande shi gurum dinacharanam. Om Magyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah.
So before I start today, I'll explain this picture to you, because actually we have a lot of new people today, so it's very appropriate that we have this picture. This is a picture of the whole first canto. Might be difficult to see from where you are, but anyway. The first canto is divided into four sections according to stories or major themes. The first six chapters, you can see here in this first lotus, the major thing that's happening is the discussion between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva. So at the beginning, it's the sages of Naimisharanya speaking and asking Sutta Goswami questions and Sutta answering, and then Vyasadeva is there. He's very unhappy because he is unsatisfied and he doesn't know why. And then Narada Muni comes and gives him instruction. And then Narada tells the story of his life. So actually, how does this relate to what we're studying now? And it's the middle lotus now. And we see Krishna is in the center. And because there in this middle lotus, it's all about Krishna and his relationships with his devotees. We see in chapter 7, he's driving Arjuna's chariot. In chapter 8, he's hearing Kunti's prayers. In chapter 9, he's at the deathbed of Bhishma. In chapter 10, he's leaving Hastinapur, and in chapter 11, he's entering Dwarka. So how do we get here? We're in the 8th chapter. Why is he describing this scene? Why is Sutta Goswami describing the scene of Kunti's prayers? How do we get up to this point? Actually, in the 4th chapter, before Vyasadeva's story is there, the sages of Naimisharanya ask questions to Sutta Goswami. And they're asking about the history of the Bhagavatam, and they're asking about the major speakers and hearers of the Bhagavatam. So they ask about Vyasadeva, they ask about Shukadeva, they ask about Parikshit Maharaj. So in the first six chapters, chapter 4, 5, and 6, we hear about Vyasadeva and the history of Bhagavatam, how it was actually passed down. So then in this next section here, he begins to answer about Parikshit. And the first thing he talks about is how Parikshit was saved in the womb from the weapon of Ashwatthama. Of course, in chapter 7, he described also a little bit of the background of Ashwatthama and how he also threw another weapon at the Pandavas. So then in chapter 8, he's thrown the weapon, and Krishna arrives on the scene in chapter 7 to protect the Pandavas and to protect Parikshit. So then we hear all about Krishna, because actually Krishna is the main theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he goes on in chapter 12 to describe more about Parikshit, his birth, and the events leading up to his becoming the king, where Dhritarashtra leaves and the Pandavas leave, and then Parikshit becomes king. And then the end is all about Parikshit and his activities and his glorious death, or how he meets death, how he prepares to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So all of it is actually the history of Bhagavatam, but also it is an answer to the sages' questions back in chapter 4. So now we've been discussing the prayers of Queen Kunti for the last 2 weeks, and we heard many different kinds of prayers which he is giving. We had categories of prayer. Actually, that's okay. We'll just remember what are the categories of prayer. So if you remember, the first prayers that she prayed were glorification and also humility, how she was feeling like she cannot understand Krishna. And she was describing how great Krishna is. He's inside, he's outside, and he's invisible to the foolish observer. But then she goes on to describe who is this invisible person. And she says all the names, Krishna, Govinda, Devaki Nandana, Vasudeva Nandana, Govinda. So this is Krishna. Krishna is that person. And then she glorifies Krishna, his name, his form, how to meditate on his form, Nama Pankachanabhaya. And then she glorifies his activities, how he protects his devotees, and how she would request him. Yesterday we heard how she requests him to continue that protection. She was saying in verse 25, let those calamities come again. Why is she praying for all these calamities to come again? Nobody prays for calamities in this. Yes. Those who have opulence, Jamaishwarya Shuti Shibir, they cannot chant feelingly the holy name of Krishna. They forget Krishna. And actually Krishna is a property of those who are materially impoverished. Yes? What else? You have something more, Vanamali Prabhu? Right. Because these calamities make me remember you, and also you come whenever I'm in trouble. You come here. So then we heard how she's glorifying, finding contradictory things in Krishna, how he's born and unborn, and how he's everyone's afraid of Krishna, but he's afraid of Yashoda. So then she glorified his highest associates, those the bridge bossies. And for her, of course, she is like in paternal rasa, so therefore she glorifies Yashoda. And then she describes different reasons why Krishna comes. And again, she glorifies those devotees in paternal ras, Vasudeva, Devaki, Yadu, Lord Brahma. Of course, Lord Brahma is the sun. And then yesterday we heard her request. Her request is that if you leave us, then we will be just like dead bodies. It's only because you're here that we are anything and that our kingdom is flourishing. So she was expressing great gratitude yesterday, that Krishna is glancing on everything and therefore everything is wonderful. So now she is submitting another request, not forgetting to glorify Krishna. So this is in text 41. And here she's also glorifying him as Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, personality of the form of the universe. And previously we heard the verse before, it was more like the all Krishna's opulences. He was glorifying his opulence. So how to see Krishna in this material world? And this verse, it's getting more into super soul again. She glorified him as super soul, soul of the universe. So she also did this before. And we understood when she glorified Krishna as super soul, there was a certain Sanskrit name that she called him, and it wasn't Paramatma. It was something else. That was in verse 28. Do you remember what she called super Krishna as super soul? It's very interesting. What? Kala. Yes. Generally, we don't think of super soul as Kala, at time. So here she's calling Krishna as Kala, your time, because super soul is the witness. So here now she's going to ask Krishna, she's going to request something from Krishna, and Prabhupada said, in the purport, in the first paragraph, that a pure devotee is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. So why was she ashamed? Because she was asking Krishna to stay with her. So she felt, this is selfish of me. I should not ask Krishna. Why should I ask Krishna to stay with me? So also, she had family members where she was. The Pandavas were with her. But then again, Krishna was going to go to Dwarka, and on that side, she also had family members, her father. Her father was on that side. So because of these dualities, she was bewildered, and she was, so therefore she prayed, just, I want to finish all this idea that this is mine, this is my family, this is my possession. Just free me from this attachment and this affection. So this is her prayer in verse 41. Prabhupada said that the Pandavas are her own sons, the Vrishnis are the members of her paternal family. Krishna was equally related to both the families, and both required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunti Devi wished Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, but by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. So this was troubling her mind. So then in paragraph 2, Prabhupada explains why. Why is she praying like this? A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens the activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. The typical example is the band of six Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya. So then Prabhupada goes on a little bit down. To cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. So here, Prabhupada is giving qualification of a leader is that he must cut off this materialistic attachment. So is it possible for someone to be a grihastha and also at the same time broaden his field of activities? How can someone ask me this question, actually, when I was traveling? So what do you say? Yeah. Okay, so she's saying you don't favor your family over others. What do you say? Okay, and she says you don't let that attachment. Because actually, even Prabhupada says it's natural to be more favorable to your own family members. Of course, a pure devotee wouldn't see distinction, but usually what happens, even if we're devotees, we favor our own family members. It's, even Krishna, he favors his devotees. So that may be there. But as she says, you don't let it get in the way. Yes?
My husband's the temple
president. Oh. Wow. Okay, so here we have an example of how the temple president doesn't want to show favor. And I've seen that actually. It does happen. That sometimes even they'll favor other children over their own children. So this does happen in devotional life. My son always tells me that. How come you're giving so much time to other people and not me? So I think it does happen sometimes that way. Yes. Right. His property he left all for ISKCON. In fact, he was very careful before he died to make sure that everything was by trustees and nothing was in his name. Yeah, that was Srila Prabhupada. So here, why is she praying like this? Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the family life is temporary, and it's just like if you go to the Jamuna River in the monsoon, then you see there's so many things floating on the top. Many branches and trees and little twigs. And so sometimes they come together and sometimes they come apart. So Srila Prabhupada was explaining that in a lecture. He was saying, just like I'm Indian, I have my family, you're European, you have your family, but somehow we're together here in this family, Krishna's family, and you're not with your other family. So this is Krishna consciousness that we're making temporary relationships. And in Hitopadesh, there is a nice verse that says that for a magnanimous person, the whole world is his family. So, devotee, if you travel sometimes, and you can see some, if you're alone traveling, you see how Krishna takes care of you, and you see how, like, everyone is your family. And Krishna sends you people to just help you. Even, like, I remember I was in Russia or Ukraine, some country. The airports there are so austere. It was in Ukraine. You have to wait out on the runway for the airplane. It was hot. It was like the hot sun. I was feeling like fainting. But people there were helping me carry my luggage and everything. So it's like, you know, everyone's your family. If you see that way, if you see people that way, you see how everyone is related to Krishna. It's interesting. I was just reading yesterday the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada said that the first words of Bhagavatam, Janmad Yasa Yataha, actually show that Krishna consciousness is for everyone. The ideal of Krishna consciousness should be for everyone. Because why? Krishna is a source of everyone. Krishna is a source of everything. He's the father of everyone. So therefore, If we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand these principles that we can apply in our everyday lives. So here, she's asking to cut this affection. The Mayavadis, they also want to cut their affection to everything. But Prabhupada said it's not enough simply to cut. So, because by nature, we're attached, we're loving. The soul is attached. It needs, it's dependent, and it needs to love. So therefore, the love must go somewhere. And if it's not in Maya, if it's not in Krishna, then it will be in Maya. So therefore, the next verse will explain where the love has to go. Before we get there, I want to just discuss one of these Sanskrit words here, Vishvamurti. Vishvamurti. What does Vishvamurti mean? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's the personality of the universal form. Universal form. So this universal form, or the word Vishvamurti can be understood on many levels. So here in this verse, it's the word for word is personality of the universal form. Prabhupada also translates it as personality in the English, personality of the form of the universe. So in that sense, we can also understand it to mean the supersoul of the universal form. So we can understand it as universal form, as supersoul of universal form. And then there's even a very high, a higher meaning that I found when I was reading the third canto. Shukadeva Goswami was describing the discussions between Vidura and Uddhava after Krishna had left the planet. And both Vidura and Uddhava were overwhelmed with separation from Krishna. So they were calling Krishna Vishvamurti in this case. When they were feeling overwhelming separation from Krishna, they understood Krishna as Vishvamurti. So Vishvamurti, how can it be Krishna? It's even meaning Krishna, not only Super Soul, not only Vishvarupa. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport to that verse that both Uddhava and Vidura are in great affliction because of Lord Krishna's departure, and the more they discussed his name, fame, and qualities, the more the picture of the Lord became visible to them everywhere. So the Vishva, this what we see here is the Vishva, but they were seeing Krishna everywhere in the Vishva. So in that way, Vishvamurti to them meant that they were seeing the form of Krishna in the Vishva everywhere, Vishvamurti. So it had another meaning here. Prabhupada said, such visualization of the transcendental form of the Lord is neither false nor imaginary, but is factual, absolute truth. When the Lord is perceived as Vishvamurti, it is not that he loses his personality or transcendental eternal form. He becomes visible in the same form everywhere. So there are many meanings in these Sanskrit words. And I just, yes. 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 Garbhadakshay Vishnu. From Garbhadakshay Vishnu comes Vishwarupa. It's an expansion of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. So that will be discussed in the third canto when you come to the creation. So let's go to verse 42. We have to be attached to something. We can't be simply detached. If we're detached, we're just like the riven cloud in the sky, or like the wire that's detached from the wall. We have no attachment. So then we'll, because it's our nature, we'll try to find something. So here, Kunti in verse 42 will explain where we should attach ourselves. Let's do the Sanskrit. Tvai me nanya vishaya mati matupate sukrit mati mupahadadha Gangeva Kamodan Vachi. Okay, one person can chant. Taime Nanya Vishaya Matir Matupate Skri Matimut Vahatadadha Gangeva Kamodan Vachi. Translation. O Lord of Matu, as the Ganga forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn into you without being diverted to anyone else. So anybody has been in Mayapur during the flood season? You have. Is it, and your wife has, yes. So it has been very, oh, you haven't. You have. Yeah, so it must flow very fiercely during the flood times down to the... Oh, okay. Okay, anyway, we hear these things, that there is no hindrance and whatever's in the way gets taken down, the cows, trees, cars, whatever. They also go in the flood waters. I also saw pictures of floods in America where they were, all houses were floating and everything. So the Ganga is very, very strong. So this is how Kunti wants her love for Krishna to be, without any diversion, just completely flowing to the sea. So in the previous verse, she was asking to cut off her affection because she wanted to be attached to Krishna. So the point is that if we... But it's not necessary simply that we practice vairagya, but we simply practice devotional service to Krishna, and automatically then we will become detached. Of course, the test is, if we're doing proper service, then we're becoming detached. And that's the test. If we're not, then that means we're not doing proper service. So that has to be there. So, just like Dhruva Maharaj, he came to Krishna with so many desires, a big desire. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his father and bigger than his grandfather. So his grandfather had the whole universe. So he had to have something bigger than that. And he got it. Krishna gave him a spiritual Vaikuntha planet. So, but actually, once he saw Narayan, then he lost that desire. So therefore, this is what Kunti is praying for, this pure service. We see the purport in paragraph 1. Perfection of pure devotional service is attained when all attention is diverted towards transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the tie of all other affections does not mean complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. This is not possible. A living being, whoever he may be, must have this feeling of affection for others because this is a symptom of life. The symptoms of life, such as desire, anger, hankerings, feelings of attraction, etc., cannot be annihilated. Only the objective has to be changed. So sometimes, as devotees, we misunderstand what is renunciation. So I would like to discuss this for a bit. And you can come and help us here. What are some signs of improper renunciation? What is improper renunciation? And this is practical application. Like, what is some behavior? What is some behavior that shows improper renunciation? And what is the way to behave to show proper renunciation? So first we'll do improper renunciation. Yes? To give up your service because it's painful, okay? Yes, did you have something? From where?
From Rupa Goswami.
Rupa Goswami. Yes, rejecting, or devotees can reject, okay, now how can we, just put reject material things that can be used. Now, how does this show in our behavior? And there is an example, there's something I'm thinking of that it's like, I can think of it in the early days, devotees did it a lot. And when you're young, you do it. Yes? Okay. Reject family life. That's one good example. What's another example? Okay. Taking sannyas prematurely. Yeah. Ekadashi. Okay. Okay. Some people overdo it on Ekadashi, and they can't. And you see the next day they have a feast or sleep or something. We are fasting. Uh-huh. You eat fruits and you go to the program. So for preaching is the essence. Service should be more during Ekadashi. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Hard-heartedness. This is a symptom of improper renunciation. You become hard-hearted. To others, yes, Vishakpriya.
What is the point of renunciation?
Okay, good, that's very good. Now we're getting to the philosophical basis. The idea that we have something to renounce. just the idea that you're renouncing is improper. Because you don't have anything to renounce. Prabhupada gives the example of somebody who goes inside the Bank of America or the State Bank of India and he says, I renounce this bank. It's not mine. So actually he's crazy. Crazy person. If you think you're renouncing, then it's not yours. Okay, I'm thinking of another really good example that devotees used to do in the early days. And that is, they would do austerities, and of course it's like Ekadashi, they would think their body is material. And they would undereat, or they would undersleep, or they would do crazy things, thinking that, oh, it's just the body. They would ruin their health, in fact, in the name of service. Completely ruin your health. Because actually we're not this body. Right? But we were, actually. I mean, there's a balance. There is a balance. Yes, we have to live in it. Jadurani in the early days, she did that. She was just overworking and every regularly she would get sick every 6 months and not be able to do anything for 2-3 months. So this was what was happening. She would work hard like for 6 months or 1 year and then collapse for 2-3 months. So this was what devotees were doing. I know the standard was, when I joined, 4 hours of sleep, pretty much. We'd stay up till 11 o'clock and then get up at 4 or 5. We didn't have Mangalarti those days. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Okay. Okay. To reject your friends and colleagues that would be... that are helpful for your helpful for Krishna consciousness, okay? What's that? Society? To reject society? Okay. What's that? Oh, suicide. Commit suicide. Yeah, that's improper renunciation. Extreme. Very extreme improper renunciation. Yes? Of course, the Mayavadis, they do that on the subtle. There is gross and there is subtle. So the Mayavadis, they commit suicide on the subtle platform. Anything else? If we have more, then we'll have to... Okay, just we'll go past that, and then we'll use... Keep going, and then we'll use another page for proper. Yes. Renunciation means spiritual life. Yes. Because in India, all the other paths, they must do this. For yoga, for jnana, they must give up everything and go to the forest for the other paths. That's why. Yeah, they renounce Krishna consciousness. Okay, improper renunciation, renounce Krishna consciousness. Yes, this is true. They still have this idea. This was Arjuna's idea. You say, this fighting, this is Maya. I will get reaction. I will go to the forest. Until sixth chapter, then he realized, I cannot go to the forest. This is too much. Yes. Niyamagraha. Okay. Accepting the rules, not following properly, or the opposite. Renouncing your duties. Which duties? Okay, renouncing family duties. Yes, this happened a lot in the early days also. I think I told a story here already that one... Brahmachari wanted to get married. Prabhupada said, okay, get married. 2-3 months later, he said, this is Maya. I want to take sannyas. So the Prabhupada said, no, you couldn't do Brahmachari. Now you can't do Grihastha. How are you going to do sannyas? You should just be satisfied where you are. This, yes. Okay, renunciation, mode, passion. Or ignorance. Right. Okay, renunciation, the mode of passion and ignorance. Yes. Okay, shall we do proper renunciation? You'll have to turn a few pages there for proper renunciation. Yeah, that's also. But we still do, even though we can't. We think we can. Actually, Rupa Goswami says there is renunciation. There is real. Now we're going to find out what it is. There is proper renunciation, yes. Okay. So that's renunciation of ownership, I guess you could say. Mental and physical. Gross and subtle. Yes? Yes, using everything for Krishna. Using everything for Krishna. Yes, yukta vairagya. Yukta vairagya. Because everything is Krishna's, we use it for Krishna. This is very difficult, as we were saying in another class, yukta vairagya. What is yukta vairagya? And what isn't yukta vairagya? Very, very, yes. Okay, accepting or rejecting things favorable to Krishna consciousness. That's anukulyena sankalpa pratikulyaya varjanam. Okay, that's proper renunciation. What else can we there are things we should renounce. What's that? Maya. What is Maya? That which is not Krishna conscious. So I think we have that already. Yeah. Yes. Reject the whims of the mind. Okay, very good. Reject the whims of the mind. Yes? Thinking anything is separate from Krishna. Yes. Including the material. Okay, thinking the material energy is separate from Krishna. We should reject that. Yes. Yes. Enjoying mentality. Okay, that I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. These are the two things that keep us. They're the most subtle. They're the things that bring us here. They're the most subtle conceptions. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. It was way, way back. Okay? Proper renunciation. Fruits of activities. Okay? Giving up the fruits, hopefully to Krishna. Anything else on this? Yes? Okay, renounce fault finding and criticizing. That's very good. For devotees especially. Okay. To take trouble, to take risk for any kind of trouble or risk for Guru and Krishna. So renouncing your own concept. What? Comfort. Comfort. That's good. Comfort. Yes. False ego. Yes? Sinful activities. Okay. That's good. False ego, sinful activities. And pious activities? No, we will do. Service to Krishna. Ishraham aham bhogi. Renounce that. You don't know Sanskrit, do you? Okay, that means, yeah, that's there. I am the enjoyer and controller. Yeah, it's in English, okay? Yes? Okay, this is very hard to do. Because there's nothing, nobody ever thinks that I have too much. It's always not enough. So if you have too much facility, you give some facility to others. That's very difficult. Very difficult. Yeah, give up the mentality of expecting something in return. That's pious activity. You give and you want something back. Yes. Asatsanga. Yes, good. Actually, all those things in Upadeshamrita that are detrimental to devotional service, that actually can be up there. Yes, what is unfavorable? Asatsanga. So-called?
Recreation.
What does that mean? Oh, okay, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Okay, cinema, yeah, right. You renounce these things, hopefully. Mundane recreation. Upadeshamrita. Yeah. Yeah, that will be included on unfavorable. Things unfavorable. Yeah, we have that. Okay? One last, yes.
Desire for liberation.
Desire for liberation. That's very hard to renounce for those of us who are jnanis and who are frustrated with this world. We can see how miserable it is. And therefore, naturally, we want to get out. Okay? Thank you very much. You have one more thing? You can... Okay. You have one more thing?
Desire for knowledge.
Desire for knowledge. Anyway, that's favorable. But not for mundane knowledge, yeah. It's that's one of the four kinds of people who come to Krishna consciousness. Of course, then at a certain level, you do go beyond, you should go beyond that. Right. Okay. So let's see. So the whole point here is that we cannot negate our desires, but we have to dovetail everything in Krishna's service. So let's see here. Prabhupada explains this in the second paragraph of purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, we can see Arjuna desired not to fight with his brothers and relations, just to satisfy his own personal desires. But when he heard the message of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he changed his decision and served the Lord. And for his doing so, he became a famous devotee of the Lord. For it is declared in all the scriptures, Arjuna attained spiritual perfection by devotional service to the Lord in friendship. The fighting was there, the friendship was there, Arjuna was there, and Krishna was there. But Arjuna became a different person by devotional service. How did he become different? What was the difference before and after in Arjuna? Okay, he followed the instruction of Krishna. That's the difference. Except Krishna is guru. Yeah. Not just friend. So he had a change of heart. Yes, he was an instrument. He became it. Just like Krishna said, become my instrument, he became instrument of Krishna. So Prabhupada said, this unalloyed devotion is the ultimate goal of life. Our attention is usually diverted to the service of something which is non-godly or not in the program of the Lord. We may be devotees, but we may have some other programs besides Krishna's program sometimes. So this is a problem. When the program is changed into the service of the Lord, that is to say, when the senses are purified in relation with the service of the Lord, it is called pure, unalloyed devotional service. So this is a very high level of devotional service. And how Kunti is praying for this, she says asakrit in Sanskrit. Asakrit means 24 hours without deviation, all the time. So this is one of the symptoms of bhava, of yartha kalatvam, that your time is not wasted, not a second of time is wasted in anything but devotional service. So she also says, let my devotion flow like the Ganga to the sea. Now there is a description in the first canto, fifth chapter, how Narada Muni, he was a small boy, and he was associating with great Mahatmas, devotees, in the rainy season. And he said that as he was hearing these great souls constantly chant the glories of the Lord, the flow of his devotional service began. His devotional service started flowing. So he uses the same idea here, as this flowing of devotional service. And he said, as the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. So this is actually the stage of nishta, when you get past anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti, you're struggling with passion and ignorance. But once you get past that, and you come to nishta, firmly fixed in devotional service, and then very quickly you come to ruchi. So here, this is what happens. So Prabhupada explained that in the purport, if by the grace of the Lord and the great soul devotees of the Lord, a living entity becomes fortunate enough to associate with the unadulterated devotees of the Lord and gets a chance to hear the unadulterated glories of the Lord, certainly a flow of devotional service takes place, like the flow of a river. As a river flows on till she reaches the sea, similarly pure devotional service flows by the association of pure devotees till it reaches the ultimate goal, transcendental love of Godhead. So this we have experienced in our lives, I'm sure, times when just by associating with a devotee or associating with a kirtan, then we feel like it's overwhelming and the flow of our devotional service takes off, at least for the time being. We have these feelings. So this is what she's describing. And pure devotional service means it's happening all the time. Always. Yeah. So let's go on. Oh, there's something here at the end of this purport which is very, very nice. Srila Prabhupada's talking about how to cut off the tie of affection. And then he says, relations of the soul established in relation with the Supreme Soul are factual relations. When Kunti Devi wanted to cut off the family relation, She meant to cut off the relation of the skin. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. This relation of soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of relation with the super soul. So I'd like to discuss a little bit. What does this mean, relation of soul to soul? We hear sometimes this in material life. It's a soul relationship. Yes? Service mood to the devotees. Okay, so this is relation of soul to soul. Anything else on this? Yes? Oh, okay, very good. Putting Krishna in the center of the relationship, whatever relationship you may have. Yes? Okay, to appreciate a devotee, because when you look at him, they remind you of Krishna or his associates, like looking at Srila Prabhupada. Yes? Okay, so this is a very nice example here, that when you're preaching to someone and you see beyond the conditioning and you see the soul and you're praying to the super soul that please let me reach this person. So this is soul to soul also, that when you touch somebody when you're preaching and you understand, oh, this person has had a change. This person has had a change of heart. He's going to take this book and he's going to read it. And this is, you're praying to super soul, please let this person accept Krishna consciousness. So that's soul to soul preaching. Yeah. It's very difficult, yeah. Because somebody on the street, you won't speak the same way as you do to your child or your brother or your sister. You speak more intimately and even sometimes not as nicely as you would to somebody that you're preaching to. Family members, it's very difficult actually to see soul to soul. So she wants to cut that off and just see the relationship, how they're related, Krishna. It's very, very difficult. Yeah, so this is often a problem, that once we become part of the family, then you're even neglected sometimes, and you go out and try to save more fallen souls. So this is a very important problem. Yes, family affection, right? Okay. So yes, Krishna appreciates. Prabhupada also, he told that to us, that if we actually love him, then we'll cooperate with each other after he leaves. Because even when he was here, it was very hard for us to cooperate. And he had to always step in and intervene and in the fights and sort everything out. It was very hard to cooperate. So he knew this was going to be a big problem after he left. And it is. It's very hard. And we read in one of the verses in the purports, remember the other day, Prabhupada was listing the 9 processes of devotional service. And instead of friendship, Prabhupada said cooperating. Cooperating. And so this is really a difficult thing to do. It's age of quarrel. It's in the air. It's in the air to fight. It's just, yes. Ultimate resort is quarrel. Yes, yes. Quarreling. Okay, we see this is the problem. And this is what destroyed the Gaudiya Math, and then also it comes. Yes, it's more harmful. Yes. Therefore, we have to cooperate. And that's why Prabhupada, in the 9 processes, instead of friendship, he put cooperating. Because that's what friendship is. So let's go to the next verse. Oh, before that, I'll just tell one really nice thing Prabhupada said. Therefore, intelligent men should inquire, where can we have eternal family life? Since we got problems with this family, so where is the eternal family? So Prabhupada said, that's Krishna's family. And Krishna is coming here and he's showing us, I have my family. And you can also be one of the members. Just like my friends, just like my wives, just like my gopis. You can be one of them. And you are one of them. So this is what we should do. So I'll just read verse 43 quickly, because I would like to read it today before we leave. I'll just read it myself. Shri Krishna Krishna Saka Vishni Vishabhavani Juk Rajanya Vangsha Dahanana Pavarga Virya Govinda Godi Jasurati Haravatara Yogeshwara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. Translation. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vishnu, you are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on this earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distresses of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers, and you are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the Almighty God, and I offer you my respectful obeisances. So this is the last verse, and it's a summary of all the other verses that we have read so far. So here he's called Krishna Sakha, friend of Arjuna. So here, the Krishna, first Sri Krishna is Krishna's name, and then the second one, Krishna Sakha, is Arjuna's name. That Sakha, he's the friend of Krishna, because Arjuna is also called Krishna. So he's a friend of Arjuna, eternally. And we find in Bhagavad Gita how the proof why Krishna is eternally the friend of Arjuna. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada quotes to prove that Arjuna is eternally the friend of Krishna. And that's in the fourth chapter. He says that many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all, but you cannot. Now this shows that they are eternally friends. Throughout all the births, throughout all the incarnations, Krishna is the friend of Arjuna. So then the next it says, Rishabha, Krishna Sakha, Vrishni Rishabha. He's the chief of the Vrishni dynasty. And then Avanidruk. Avanidruk means the rebellious kings. So he came here to subdue those political parties who were disturbing elements on the earth. Then it says, Rajanya Vansha Dahana, Apavarga Virya. Apavarga. Does everybody know this word, apavarga and pavarga? Did you study that in your class, Gita class, pavarga? Pavarga, there's five miseries in this material world. According to the Sanskrit list, it says pa, ba, bha, ma. So pa is parisham, hard labor for a struggle for existence, so hard that pha or phena comes from the mouth. Pa, ba means... No, the first before that, ba, biartata, means it's all useless. Before, yeah, fena, and then after foam, the work is useless. Because you come to the end of your life, and then you have ba, fear, and then ma, mrityu. Yes, so these five. These are the miseries of material existence. But Krishna, he is the destroyer of these miseries. Anapavarga virya. Then he is Govinda. Govinda, go dvija sarati haravatara. He takes away the distresses, and that's why he came. So many reasons why he came, Kunti said, and this is the summary. To take away the distresses of the brahmanas and the cows. And then the last one is Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara, master of all mystic powers. So Prabhupada said that we are not interested in these mystic powers. Because Krishna is Yogeshwara. He said, we're just like a very rich man's son. A rich man's son, he doesn't worry about money. Because wherever he goes, his father will supply. So a devotee, he's not worried about getting mystic powers. Because Krishna will supply. He depends on Krishna, and Krishna has all the mystic powers. Just like, who is that one who defeated the greatest yogi in Srimad Bhagavatam? Ambarish Maharaj, yes. He had no mystic powers. But he defeated the greatest yogi. So Prabhupada said that in the Western countries, people say, I have done wonderful things, I've done miracles. He said, but I did not know any siddhi. I did not know any mystic powers. He said, it is Krishna's desire. He said, Krishna is pleased that for me, this person has come to serve me. Now see how wonderful he is. And so he said, Krishna is making him do wonderful things because he's depending on Krishna. So instead of becoming a yogi, we should take shelter of Yogeshwara, and then we will have everything. So Yogeshwara, Guru, Bhagavan, Namaste. So he's Bhagavan. So two things, two words, Yogeshwara and Anapavargavirya. Srila Prabhupada put these two together. That he's Yogeshwara. Another meaning of Anapavargavirya is that his power is unlimited. Krishna has unlimited power. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then we can have unlimited power behind us. And Prabhupada says, how to do that? It's very, very simple. We just have to chant Hare Krishna. And we have all the power of Krishna behind us. That is our shelter, the holy name. We take shelter of the holy name. So this verse is repeated in the 12th canto. This is 12:11:25. This verse is repeated when Suta Goswami is summarizing the whole Bhagavatam. So we hear this verse twice in Bhagavatam. And the second time there is a change in the last two lines. The first two are the same. Then it goes Govinda Gopa Vansha. Sorry, Govinda, Gopa, Vanita, Vrajabritya Gita, Tirtha Shava, Shavanamangala, Pahi, Brityan. He says, you are the proprietor of the transcendental abode and your most sacred glories, which are sung by Vrindavan's cowherd men and women and their servants, bestow all auspiciousness just by being heard. O Lord, please protect your devotees. So that's how it's translated in the 12th canto, this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, from the flow of bhakti, yes. Okay, flow of honey. Into his flow. And very thick. Oh, that's very nice. That's good, yeah. Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, Nectar of Devotion describes how it gets thicker and thicker. Very abundant. Oh. Okay. Thank you. So when bhakti becomes on that level, it's very thick and abundant. And thank you for that. Anything else? Yes? Durvasa. Durvasa Muni. Yes. Yes, Pru. The five miseries. Okay. Okay. So you know Hindi or Sanskrit. It's pa, sorry. Pa, pa, ba, bha, and ma. So the first one is parishram. Parishram means hard labor. The second is fena, foam, coming from the mouth. You see the horses here who draw the tongas. This foam comes from, sometimes cows, the foam comes from the mouth. That's pa. Then ba is biartata. You can find it in your computer maybe, yeah? Yeah, Vyartata means that it's useless, it's a waste. It's your life is wasted, useless. Then Bha is Bhaya, or fear. Bhaya. And Ma is Mrityu, or death. So these are the five miseries of samsara. It's described, this is samsara. This is the material samsara, pavarga. Apavarga means liberation from this samsara. Yes, you got it? Okay, you can copy it from his computer. 7:13:25. That's a purport. Purport of. Okay, 7:13. Yeah. Usually when I caught it, I found it in Prabhupada's lecture, so I was just quoting from there. Okay, so this is pavarga. So apavarga means liberation, and that's what Krishna is giving us, freedom from these miseries. He's an apavarga virya. Okay, anybody else have any questions? Comments? Okay, so then we'll stop here, and you can please return your books back. We're asking you to have proper renunciation in this class, to return your books, since you didn't pay for them. And on Monday. Yeah, you're going. I'm also going to. Yeah. Thank you all for coming, and I hope you have successful studies.
Thank you for the class.
Hare Krishna.